Okay, so what did we leave off with? I think we were in the discussion did we get to we did the Meshech Chochma. I think we're going further and trying to explain. We left off, did we explain anything in the Ramban yet? No, okay. So let's try to explain the Shita of the Ramban as it applies to this mitzvah. Because one thing the Ramban doesn't do is he doesn't give us any clue as to why we're supposed to listen to the Chacham. He doesn't offer up any solution. He doesn't offer any reason. At least in the Rambam, we say there's a mitzvah in HaTorah, lo saser, and there's a mitzvah, you know, so that all the mitzvahs derabanan stem from that mitzvah daraisa. If you want to explain like the Meshech Chochmah, that it's really the reason you're supposed to follow the Chachamim is because of the mitzvah lo saser, but the chetz of the mitzvah itself is the chetz of a mitzvah derabanan. Fine, that's very easy to understand. And oh yeah, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to use that to explain the difference in the Rambam Shita by Minhagim, right? So there's a very similar yisod that the Brisker Rav has in his sefer on the Rambam when he's explaining the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos when it comes to making brachos on Minhagim. So, but it's not actually the Rambam's yisod per se. It's a universal yisod that he goes with. Meaning, we asked yesterday, how come the Rambam holds that you can't make brachos on minhagim? You're allowed to make brachos on minhagim. You're allowed to make brachos on mitzvos derabanan that comes from lo saser. So then, how come you don't make brachos on minhagim? So, say because the Rambam holds they also come from lo saser. So that's very shver. Why the Rambam holds you can't make brachos on minhagim? So the Brisker Rav sowed, and it also works within the shita that argues on the Rambam. The shita of Rabbeinu Tam is that it's true that the tokef of every minug, the koach that goes in behind the minug, is the mitzvah d'orais of lo saser. But within the different ideas that the Chachamim established, there's a chefza of a mitzvah d'orais, there's a chefza of a mitzvah d'rabbanan, there's a chefza of a minug. It's a different, every level of mitzvah that you can do takes on a life of its own once they made the takanim. The general question is, why do you have to listen to it? Okay, because it says in the Torah that it says lo saser. But when the Chachamim were misakin a mitzvah derabanan, so like we said, that they were misakin the Torah is a chetz of a minig of mitzvah derabanan. So there's also something which you could call a minig neviim, a minig, you know, a minig of a high level minig, a lower level minig, medium. But in the bottom line is, it doesn't. Not every mitzvah d'oraisa, not every mitzvah d'rabbana, not every minhag has the same status inherent in what it is. It's only, you know, it takes on a certain status that they were misakin for it. So they're misakin a mitzvah d'oraisa, it takes a chetz of a mitzvah, I'm not misakin, but let's say they learn out a mitzvah d'oraisa using the tools of Torah Shabbat Pat, so that makes it a mitzvah d'oraisa. They learn out, you know, they say this is not a mitzvah d'oraisa, you can't darshan it using the tools of Torah Shabbat Pat, it's just we're misakin it. So Mela takes on a chetz of a mitzvah derabanan. It's a different style, and it'll have its own rules of savik derais al chumra. And then there's an additional level where it takes on a chetz of a mitzvah of a minug. It's not even on the level of a mitzvah derais. It's not even a level mitzvah derabanan. It's a chetz of a minug, and that's its own level of takana. That has its own set of rules. And according to the Rambam, the rule is not the rule is that you don't make a bracha on these types of minhagim. So even though you have the same driving force behind it, and technically you could say heichan tzivanu milo sasur, but still that doesn't mean that you're going to make a bracha on a minhag, because it takes on a status of its own, even though the power behind it is the power of daraisa from the mitzvah of lo sasur. So that's lechora how you could explain the Rambam, and it takes a very similar turn, you know, in the direction that the Meshech Chochmah is saying, in general, the way the Rambam looks at mitzvos midrabbanan. So you see the Rambam is fairly consistent throughout, depending on if you accept these explanations. So, yeah.
And then let's just ask this. What was wrong with the Rambam saying maybe the Rabbana, when every mitzvah they make, is kind of like a built-in tenai? But I thought that sounded good. Why is that? He says
So yeah, in Achinami, it could be that I mean, if you look in, Rebbe Chanan has in the second chelik of the Kovet Shiurim, he has a long piece called the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, where he deals with this machlokas extensively. He deals in general with these types of topics extensively. And in the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, he quotes from, he had two Rebbeim. His first Rebbe was when he was in Volozhin as a Talmud. His Rebbe was Reb Chaim Brisker, and then when Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, when Reb Chaim went to Brisk afterwards, after he left Volozhin, and his second Rebbe was the Chofetz Chaim. Later went to learn by the Chofetz Chaim, and he considered the Chofetz Chaim his Rebbe for the rest of his life. He used to go periodically during the year to Radin to be with the Chofetz Chaim, certain Yom Tovim and stuff like that. So those were his two Rebbeim. So he quotes from his Rebbe Reb Chaim that the way the Reb Chaim understood the Ramban was pretty much exactly the way the Meshech Chochma understands the Rambam. So if you understand that the Ramban is pretty much saying the Meshech Chochma, so then by definition he's not going to like that pshat in the Rambam, meaning he understands that the Rambam is saying that the mitzvos de Rabbanan are all a chefetz of lo saser. So then don't tell me that the Rabbanan inherently made a tanai in something which constitutes a chefza shel doraisa that you're supposed to be mochel on your kavod all the time, and you're supposed to meaning what's the point of that? They're going to take doraisas and they're going to tell you, yeah, but makam safik you should go lekula, and inherent in all these doraisas you're not supposed to follow the rules of doraisas. That's very schwer if you think about it that way. So if you assume that the Ramban is understanding the Rambam the way he pretty much lays it out for you, that every mitzvah derabanan is really at least one mitzvah deraisa, so it makes very little sense to say that something which constitutes a real mitzvah deraisa, you're then going to say that inherent in every single one of them, the rabbanan were makel and they were mochel on their kavod. It's very hard to say such a thing.
So the level of even though yes, because of lo saser it makes it deraisa, it's still different in the sense that it was. Nami Pi Hashem was the Rabbanan, so that's why they would do that. Because yeah, the Rabbanan almost think they make the mitzvah, like, we can make the mitzvahs, we can make the zeros because of Lo Sasur, but don't think it's on the same level as the actual mitzvahs from the Torah.
Right. No, you could be right, but in other words, you have to ask yourself, see, that's, I think, one second, let me finish the thought, and then I'll tell you what I was thinking. That's you have to ask yourself if you think that's the pshat. You know, that's what the Ramban is saying. Maybe you could argue that. But the bottom line is, if you're dealing with a chefetz of a mitzvah doraisa, do you really think that they're going to include different rules than the regular doraisas? Like, is that, that's a very difficult thing to say. Could you say it? You could. But should you? That's the Ramban's question. That's why, what does the Ramban say? Al tis akesh. What does that mean? Don't be stubborn. See, don't say bad svaras just because you can. You know, that's why the Ramban says it. He says, I know you could say it, but why would you? You know, don't be stubborn and say the svara, you know, just because I can't say that you're wrong. I can say that, you know, I can say that, listen, I'm the Ramban, and I think I know how to learn, and I don't think that's a good svara. You know, that's what the Ramban is saying. I don't think that's a very good way to learn. He can't prove that you're wrong, because it's not against any inherent, I can't point to a bunch of Gemaras and show why you're wrong. I can't point to a Pasuk and show why you're wrong. I'm just telling you it's a bad svar. You know, that's pretty much what the Ramban is saying. But again, if you understand that that's how the Rambam is learning, that really every mitzvah derabanan is a cheftz of lo saser, so then, yeah, why would you say that they included an inherent mechila in every single mitzvah? But once you understand, like the Meshech Chachma, all the kashas really fall away. The point, Reb Chaim really wanted to say that the Ramban understands everything just like the Rambam does, but he holds it differently. Now there's room to say such a thing in the Ramban, because the Ramban has comments, side comments in his commentary in the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he's mashma that there is a chi of Doraisa to listen to the Rabbanan. Just the question is where. So that's why Reb Chaim wants to say that really the Ramban learns the way the Meshech Chochma learns the Rambam. But he never saw the Meshech Chochma. I think the Meshech Chochma was only printed a number of years after Rabbi Meir Simcha was nifter. And Reb Chaim and Rabbi Meir Simcha were contemporaries. I don't think he saw them. He saw the Ar Sameach. He never saw the Meshech Chochma. So, but They said that when Reb Chaim held very, very highly of Reb Meir Simcha, he was quoted by contemporaries as having been said that he thinks Reb Meir Simcha knows how to learn better than him. And he was very scared when the Ur Sameach came out. And nobody knew why. And he said when the Ur Sameach came out, he read it cover to cover, and he like sighed with relief. And he said he still left a little bit of room for me to say something. You know, he felt that anything good that there was to say, Reb Meir Simcha was going to say it. So like, what else could I say? So he was nervous that like he would be put out of business when the Ur Sameach came out. But he felt he breathed a sigh of relief, you know, that he felt that there was still something left to say after he got through the whole Ur Sameach. So, but he never, I don't think he ever saw the Meshech Chochma. There's a story behind the Meshech Chochma that the Reb Meir Simcha's father didn't want him to publish it. That he said if you publish it, then you're going to be known as a Chumash guy. You're going to be known as a Tanakh guy. You'll be like the Malbim. The Malbim was a tremendous Lamdan. He has a sefer, I think it's called, tiny little sefer called Arts of Sachaim, which he never really finished. But the parts that he did write on, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it all the time, came out on every page. You know, but he never finished it for whatever reason. There's different folklore about why that is. But he's a tremendous Lamdan. But, you know, Lamais, in the end of the day, you think Malbim, you think Tanakh. You know, you think, you know, so like, trust me, his accomplishments to Tanakh are enough. But Lamaisa, in the end of the day, Sir Reb Meir Simcha's father didn't want him to be known as a Chumash guy, a Tanakh guy. I don't think anybody opens up on a Meshech Chachma thinks Reb Meir Simcha's a Chumash guy anyway. But, okay, that's besides the point. So out of Kovitz, I heard from a fairly reliable source that Reb Meir Simcha held that the Ur Sameach was like a nice thing that he put out, but his Iker Tafkin in life was to put out the Meshech Chachma. And out of kovet to his father, he literally was he was kovet shit. He kept it under wraps until after he was nifter, and it wasn't published until a number of years after he was nifter. You can imagine what that means to somebody, Talmud Chacham, who feels that his whole contribution to the Olam HaTorah is this sefer, and yet he's still out of honor to his father in an area that he's not mechuyev to honor his father. But out of honor to his father, he voluntarily kept it under wraps. Knowing he would never see any nachas from having it published, he'd only see nachas. It's not in the stomach. He's seeing a lot of nachas now, but he didn't get any during his lifetime from it. So I don't know. It's pretty amazing. So anyway, so getting back, if you understand the Rambam in this way, it makes a lot of sense. So now we have to try to understand the Ramban. Even Reb Chaim's way of understanding the Ramban doesn't, you know, there's not a lot of source for that in the words of the Ramban. Right, the Ramban doesn't really spell out that it comes from Los Sasser. So just in terms of standard beer in the Ramban, before we get into actually the explanation, I think we can understand it better if we backtrack a second. Let's read the Gemara in Sukkah one more time. And really, we can read the Gemara in Brachas one more time also. So the Gemara in Brachas starts off, it says that you can violate a Los Sasser b'Torah mishum kovet abrius. Right? So we say, wait a minute, it's not true. Ein chochma, ein tfuna, ein etz neged Hashem. So Rav Bashova says, we're talking about the Los Asei of Los Sasser. So they said, what are you talking about? That's a Los Asei Min HaTorah. So Rav Kahana backed him up and said, Kol Milei Derabanan Asmechinu Alav De Los Sasser. Mishim Kvodo Shoh Rabban. So Rashi explained the Gemara very nicely, and Lechora, that's perfectly in line with the Rambam Shita. Now again, it could be that Rashi is saying the Altis Akesh Teretz over here, because you could read that beautifully into Rashi, that particular teretz that the Ramban doesn't like. But it could also be that Rashi saying shat like the Meshech Chochma, that he wants to learn the, you know, like the Rambam according to the Meshech Chochma. It's hard to know, right? But you do see clearly that Rashi seems to be learning like the Rambam. Rashi seems to be learning that the Lavin Daraisa, I'm sorry, that the Isurim Darabonan are all from Los Sasser, right? You hear that? I tried to prove it last time, based on the way Rashi phrases the order of the questions. But the question then becomes, how on earth does the Ramban read this Gemara? Meaning, what's the Havamina, what's the Maskana? The whole thing is Shver. If according to the Ramban, Los Sasser doesn't really have anything to do with Lavan Darais, Adarabonim, doesn't really have anything to do with Mitzvah Darabonim. Mitzvah Darabonim, we don't know what the Ramban says the source is, but he says it's not Los Sasser. So how could it be? How could the Gemara come right and say, Ad kedei kach, that they had a Havamina that was talking about Los Sasser, is it Din D'Oraisa? And they said, what are you talking about Din D'Oraisa? We're talking about Din D'Rabbanan here. He said, It's very hard to understand how the Ramban reads this Gemara. And the Ramban deals with the Gemara in his Arichos over there, but he doesn't really say how Losas was playing a role. That's point number one. And similarly, we have the same thing. The Ramban, when it comes to the Gemara in Sukkah, the Gemara in Shabbos, sorry, same Gemara in Sukkah, but he says that we make a bracha on Ner Chanukah. What is it? Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Ah, Heichon Tzivano, Rav Avoya Omar, Milo Sasur. Right? Rav Nechem Yomar Shalavicha V'yagedcha Zecheinecha V'yomru Lach. Right? So you either have the negative version of it or the positive version of it, but either way is a din in the Torah that was mitzave us to light Chanukah candles, to, you know, do these mitzvahs d'rabbanan. So how is the Ramban saying that Losasur doesn't equal mitzvahs d'rabbanan? How can that be? Very difficult to understand the Ramban. So, in order to answer these questions, I think we can just go to one fundamental machlokes when it comes to the concept of asmachta. Right. So, there's a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Ritva. If I can find it, would be nice. I think it's source number 5 somewhere.
Six.
All right. There we go. Right, 4.5 isn't really a source. Just look in the Shev Shmaitz. Okay, so we look in source number 6. We'll do the Rambam first, because he came first. It's only fair. So the Rambam is in the middle of describing in the Mishnah, in the Hakdama LePirusha Mishnayos, what is a Halachah Moshe Misinai, what is Torah Sheba'al Peh, what are all these important things that a Jew really needs to know. So he's going through all of these ideas. And here he says, "V'kol inyan she'ein lo remez b'mikra v'lo asmachta v'i'efshar l'lamdo be'achas amidos be'ele b'lvad omrim halacha l'moshe misinai." It has to be something that is not textual in any way. You can't learn it out from the words of the Torah, right? He says that's called halacha l'moshe misinai. U'leficha kishamarnu shiurin halacha l'moshe misinai. He's quoting the Gemara early on in Sukkah. Says that shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin. Our halachos of Moshe Misinai. So he says, "Hikshinu al zev amarnu." He says, "What do you mean? The Gemara is sakasha. Eich tomer aleim sheim halachos Moshe Misinai. Vayri ashurim remuzim bepasik eretz chita sora, etc." And they quote the brisa that chita sora, right? Paschitim velo pasorin. Nesiv also ocha b'liptan is talking about shir kedeachilas pras for bais hamenuga and all these. They give all these different remuzim that come out of the pasuk of eretz chita sora. So how can it be? And we get to the point that we say Rov Shurim Kizesim, whatever, from the Eretz Zayas, Eid Zeshem, and whatever it is. So how can it be that this is not that it's Halachah L'Moshe Misinai? It's straight out in the pasuk. So the Rambam is trying to prove, obviously, Halachah L'Moshe Misinai can't come from a pasuk, right? So that's his point, but that's not our point. V'ha'isa Tshuva Al Zeh Shehim Halachah L'Moshe Misinai. Right? You don't have any way of learning this out using the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash Tzbayan. They don't have any hint in the entire Torah. They were just masmich them. They sort of retroactively plugged it into this pasuk so that the pasuk will be like a simon, like a mnemonic device to remind you of the halacha l'moshe misinai, kidesh yishmerum v'yizkerum, so that people will keep them and will remember them. The ein zeh me'inyan ha'pasuk, but this is not really what the pasuk is talking about. V'zehu inyan omram kra asmachta ba'alma b'chol makom sh'nizkar. Whenever you see the phrase kra asmachta ba'alma, this is what it means. So there's the Rambam Shita and Kras Machta Alma. Not that the Torah was really trying to tell you this. When Hashem wrote the Torah, he wasn't really trying to allude to this at all. The Rabbanan, either when they made a Dinder Rabbanan, or when they wanted to remind you of a pre-existing piece of Torah Sheba'al Peh that doesn't have a source in the text, i.e. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, they plugged it back in to the Pasuk. And they said, and then, so you shouldn't get confused, so they say, and the Gemara tells you, it's just an asmachta. That's what asmachta means. So the Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah has some problem with this. Picking it up in the middle there, I underline that part. Shekol masha yeshlo asmachta min apasuk, heir HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheroi lasus king. Kadosh Baruch Hu was meir, he sort of made a ha'ora. I don't know how you properly translate that. He was, I'll translate it poorly as he alluded to it. Kadosh Baruch Hu alluded to this, that it was fitting to do. Ela shelo kavu chovo masu l'chacham. He did not set it up as an actual chiyuv. He gave it over to the chachamim to figure it out. V'zed davar borur ve'emes. V'lo kedivrei ha'mefarshim ha'asmachtos shehu kederech simin shenosnu chachamim v'lo shekavonas ha'torah l'kach. Not like those who will remain nameless, but who we read 2 seconds ago, who say that it's just a simin, but that's not what the pasuk really meant. Chas v'shalom yishtoka hadavar v'lo yomer. Why not? Shezudas minus hu. Because it's apikorsis. So, you know, it's never a good day without one, you know, somebody calling somebody an apikorsis. So that's today's apikorsis. The Ritva calls the Rambam an apikorsis. He doesn't call him straight out an apikorsis. He says this opinion is apikorsis, right? Aval haTorah heira b'kach u'masra chiyuv adavar l'kavu l'chachamim. The Torah was mayor this inyan. They made these points and they gave the obligation to the chachamim to figure it out. Im yirtzu kemoshenam ravasisa api adavar shia gidu l'cha. Ooh, that's important. See that quote? You should do api adavar shia gidu l'cha. You're supposed to listen to the chachamim, right? That's right before the two words that we're keying on, right? Lo sasur. Ulefichach timtimtza achachanim nosnim b'chol makom raya o zecher o asmachta ledivreim min haTorah klomar she'ena mechadshim dover milibam. The chachamim are not making this up. B'chol haTorah shebaal peh remuza b'Torah shebechsav she'i tamima b'chas v'shalom she'i chaser klom. All of Torah shebaal peh is alluded to, meaning including the dinim derabbanan, are included in the Torah shebechsav, and God forbid to say that it's missing anything. So the Ritva is representing this other school of thought, and what's the yisod of an asmachta? He's saying that it's inherent in the Torah, right? He doesn't really elaborate much on what he's trying to say, but I feel bad. I have it in my notes on Masechta Sukkah, but I forgot to. I didn't get a chance to look at it right before I came. There's a bigger elaboration on this yisod in the Maral. He has in the Hakdama to one of his svarim. I don't remember which sefer it is. I'm not very well versed in the Maral svarim, but I did read this introduction to one of his svarim. I forget which one, but he elaborates on this yisod. That's basically a major piece of the Hakdama, where he explains that there's different levels of learning the Torah. You can learn the Torah using the Midas Shetar and Adresh Tzbahem, and you can get something which is so clear to you on a level, it makes it into a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's something which is so blatantly obvious that it becomes a mitzvah d'oraisa. Then there's a secondary level, where the Rabbanan are darshaning it, and they see there's clearly a direction in which the Torah is trying to steer you. There's clearly a message that the Torah is giving over. Not a vort, not something that, like, you know, is just a cute thing to say, you know, stam to say it. Saying, but there's something a little bit stronger, a lot stronger than that, that there's the tzivui of the Torah, and then there's the, I don't know what you want to call it exactly, you know, there's the Reach HaTorah. I guess you could quote the Marshal's Lashon about people who wait 6 hours after they eat meat, right? Kol Mishiyeshbo Reach HaTorah, Ruach HaTorah. There's the Ruach HaTorah. There's the unwritten message and the spirit of what the direction the Torah is trying to send you in. And he says, not everybody's going to pick up on this. You have to really be an expert in darshaning the psukim. You have to really be an expert in knowing how to use the Midas HaTorah and addresses by him, that you can also get a feel for what the Torah is really trying to tell you. And there's this ruach of the halacha that comes, and when the Rabbanan pick up on something like that, they see that there's clearly an idea in the Torah that they want, that Torah wants them to make a din de Rabbanan. Right? So obviously this is not, I don't know if you could say this, it's not obvious in every area, in every mitzvah de Rabbanan, where you're going to see what the connection to the Torah Shebaal Peh, to the Torah Shebechsav is. But sometimes when you see it in the Gemara and it says the cross machta ba'alma, that's what it's telling you. It says that it's not really to darshan, it's darshaning the pasuk on a level of deraisa, and it's darshaning a pasuk on a level of darabanan. So the Rabbanan, when they read these psukim, it basically they saw this message jump out at them, and they tried to understand what the Torah was saying, and they came to the conclusion that this is what Hashem wants, and therefore they made a takanas chachamim based on this asmachta. That's really what an asmachta is all about, according to this school of thought. It's not that the Rabbanan on their own had an idea and they put it out there for the Jewish people to do, and they wanted the Jewish people to keep it. And therefore, they plugged it back into a pasuk so that when you went to shul and you read the parsha, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's that mitzvah, that's the mitzvah derabbanan over there that makes us think of that, right? So that's how the Rambam wants to say. Whereas the Ramban may be learning like this Ritva, like his grand Talmud, right? The Ritva was a Talmud of two of the Talmidei Ramban. There was a Talmud of the Ra'al and a Talmud of the Rashba. They were both Talmidim of the Ramban. So his grand Talmud, Luchar, is saying the Mahalach that he was Mekabel from his Rabbanim, that Asmachta is a real thing. They're darshaning the Torah, they're understanding the Torah on a certain level, and it's not on a level of Daraisa, but it's enough to make them want to make a Din Darabbanan in order to fulfill the Ratzon HaTorah, the inherent Ratzon of what the Torah, the direction that the Torah is trying to steer you in. Right? It's a very difficult concept to grasp because, you know, we don't see it at all when we read the Torah. We don't even see the Din of Daraisa, but at least when you read the Gemara, you say, okay, you know, there's a Din Daraisa, it says like this, and, you know, you could figure out you can figure it out. At least you can see what it says in the Gemara as they learned it out. But then you see the Gemara quote this pasuk, and they say it's an asmachta ba'alma, so it's not so easy to always understand how did they see from there that they should do that. It's somewhat difficult. But lemaisa, that's Rav Shechter once said a mashal, I think b'shem Rabbi Rucham Gorelick, he said that if a person mines petroleum, you know, he gets raw petroleum from the ground and he makes it into all these different things. So if you like the one of them, they make all kinds. They make rubber, and they make, you know, gasoline to put in a car, and they make all kind, everything in between also. So he said, if you look at a piece of rubber, somebody's going to tell you. You look at a piece of rubber, and you see the petroleum coming up from the ground. You say, oh yeah, you see the tires on that truck. That's also that. So you're going to go, what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. Like, the whole thing is nonsense. This guy's mamish losing it. Seems like a really smart fellow, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's making stuff up. But if you're a real scientist and you know exactly how to take the petroleum and make it into all the different things, so then you do look at that and see the tires. You look at it, not only do you see the tires, you also see rocket fuel, you also see airplane fuel, you see car fuel, you see motor oil, you see all kinds of, I don't know, there's other things also they make with it. But saying, I don't know, Vaseline, it's called petroleum jelly, I don't know if that is actual petroleum, but you see Vaseline, you see all these things. So what? I honestly couldn't say. But that's the Yisod. The Yisod is the Chachamim who are so well versed in darshaning the Torah. They look in the Torah and they see this. We don't see it because we don't know what we're doing. But if we knew, if we were trained well enough and we had the proper understanding, then we would be able to see it also. If we were Zohar, I'm saying that's the level that Chazal were on, that they were able to pull it off. So that's the Yisod here also. The Ritva is saying the Chazal looked at the Torah and they saw not only the din of the Torah, they also saw the Ruach HaTorah, they saw the spirit of the law, and Hashem was trying to steer them in a particular direction. Sometimes, perhaps you could argue, sometimes it took a certain problem in the generation for the Chachamim to then realize what the Torah was getting at all along. You know, sometimes you see it, you even have that with Dinim Doraisa sometimes. You don't really understand what's the application of a Din Doraisa until a new situation arises. And then you're like, oh, that's where we can use this Gemara. It helps us so much now to understand this new Shiloh that came up in the 21st century. You know, so certainly by Dinim Derabanan, that they have to sometimes solve modern day issues or whatever time along the way. So in order to solve all these issues, they had to look back into the Torah, and something that didn't jump out at them the first 500 times they read it could have jumped out at them at the first 500 first time they read it, because it was shaykh now, it was relevant, and they realized it's something that's necessary. You know, so that's perhaps what he's getting at. So with all this in mind, so we can certainly now go back and understand how the Gemara reads Lo Sasur into the mitzvahs Lo Sasei Shebet Torah, meaning it's Lo Sasur on the level of an asmachta. It's Lo Sasur, meaning there's an asmachta ba'alma that we learn from Lo Sasur that you're supposed to listen to the Dinim Derabanan. Meaning, if the Torah was going to tell you that every time the Sanhedrin HaGadol makes a psak, that you're supposed to listen to them on a shail of Daraisa, so why shouldn't that also mean that you're supposed to listen to them on a level of Darabanan? I mean, there's certainly a Ruach HaTorah aspect to that statement of the Gemara. And certainly when there's an idea of Lo Sasur, when it comes to understanding that the Chazal have the right to be mitzava us to make brachos, right? So we can understand on a Durabbanan Dika level, not on a Duraisa level, but on a Durabbanan level, that just as Minat Torah were mechuyev to listen to the Sanhedrin, and Ad Kidei Kach, that if you argue on them, you can become a Zaken Mamre. So even when Chazal, when they look into the Torah and they see other ideas, so you're also mechuyev to listen to those as well. Not necessarily based on the Achiv Duraisa of Losasar, but just in general, clearly the Torah wants us listening to the Chachamim. And that's the inherent idea of what the Ruach HaTorah is all about. This is essentially what Rebbe Chana Wasserman writes in the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, and there's tons of other Achronim they put their own twist on it, and they write it in their own Lashon. But essentially, that's where they're all going when they try to explain the Shita Ramban. There's a Rav Shimon Shkop has in the Shari Yosher along these same lines. He says a little bit different. Rav Shimon Shkop was one of the great geniuses of all time in terms of Jewish learning. You know, Rav Shimon, his stuff is very difficult to understand and very difficult to read, but his style of lumdus was harder than Reb Chaim's style of lumdus, and never really caught on. But those who pulled it off. But those in general, it wasn't the type that was going to become super popular. You can't just clear your own chakiris and say your own sveidinims in Reb Shimon's style, or the same way you could do it in Reb Chaim's style. So it never really caught on as much. But Lamaisa, Reb Shimon, he's very into svaris. He's very into understanding things from a perfectly logical and even philosophically logical perspective. So when he says this same formulation, he says a little bit different. He says that we know there's a koach of svara, which is daraisa, right? And we know that if we have from time to time lomali kras svarahu, right? Why do we have the pasuk if it's a svara? Right, and we know that sometimes we have another svara, which is not daraisa. Right, the simplest of all the examples is what? Bracha Rishona, right? It's a svara, right? It's a svara, asalei hanas olam abzebelo bracha. So that's why the Pnei Yoshua on that Gemara, was it Lamed Hey and Brachas on the very bottom, Lamed Hey and Aleph, the Pnei Yoshua there says, oh, you see, Bracha Rishona is daraisa. Because we know that svara is daraisa, right? What's the ultimate svara? Svara is one of the Yud Gimel Midah Shetara Nedreshes by him, just not in that format. Kal V'chomer is the ultimate Svara. It's the Svara with a built-in Raya. You know, it's the ultimate form of Svara. So when we say a good Svara, that could be Chayav on a level of Daraisa. So the Pnei Yeshua actually comes to that conclusion. He says, you see, Bracha Rishona is a Svara Daraisa. So then they ask the Kasha, wait a minute. He asks on himself. He says, wait a minute. You never heard of Safik Brachos Lahakel? He says, how could it be Daraisa? So he says, Pasha Teretz. What's the Teretz? You ever see that Pnei Yeshua? You heard of it. So he says, the Pasha Teretz. He says, no. It's not Safik Brachos Lahakil as in Sveika Derabanan Lakula. It's Safik Brachol Levatala Lechumra. He says, it's not the same thing as shaking a lulav misafik. He says, shake a lulav all day and all night if you want. You're not going to do anything wrong. He says, you make a bracha when you're not chayav to make a bracha. That's very bad. That might even be an Issa Daraisa, according to at least one day in Rishonim. Could be an Issa Daraisa. So it's a Safik Daraisa L'chum in the other direction. So that's why you say Safik Bracha L'Hakel, but Bracha Rishon is Daraisa, it's a Svara. We don't accept that Pnei Yeshua L'maisa. We generally assume Bracha Rishon is Darabanan. So what's our counter argument? L'chora, he's right. See it? All right, but that doesn't answer the question. That just proves that he's wrong, So what's the... How do we know that he's wrong? I mean, like, how come he doesn't get to be right? So Pashtus is that in order for a svara to be daraisa, it has to be super compelling. It has to be a 100% compelling svara. Something, it's a very compelling svara, but maybe it's only a svara that's 90% compelling. It's not. You could debate it. You could say, well, hey, Chatesi, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us this world, and he gives us the right to do what we want with our stuff. Halavai, we should use it for the right thing, but that doesn't mean we have to make a bracha every time we get it. And you could bring a raya against it. The Torah was only mechayev me to make a bracha in the end. So maybe I'm supposed to get the hanoa first before I make the bracha. So in the end, al tisakesh v'tomar. Don't say such a stubborn argument, but it can be made. You understand? So that doesn't make it a 100% compelling svar. Kal v'chomers. No, when the Gemara only says it in like two or three places, lamali kara svara, svarahu, or svarahi. But I don't remember offhand what the places are, but nice, in those times where you could have a compelling svara besides a kal v'chomer, but I'm saying kal v'chomer is the number one example, but even so, when the Gemara asks the question, why don't you say it misvara? So whatever the Gemara's localized answer is, but enachinami, you could have said such a svara. You know, so those are, there are cases where you can come up with svaras d'oraisa, right? There's, for example, Chasam Sofer wants to argue that the Iker Kiyam of Purim and Chanukah are d'oraisa, on a Purim at least. Chanukah also, the Iker Kiyam of Chanukah is d'oraisa, Iker Kiyam of Purim is d'oraisa, because they darshan a kal v'chomer, you know, to make the holiday of Purim. It was a svara midrabanan. They said if you're supposed to make a chag of Pesach because me'avdus l'chayrus, you make a chag so kol shekein when it comes to Purim was mimisa l'chayim. So that's the Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara seems to very much accept that idea, and then goes on. Okay, so why don't we say halal? Right? Then they get into the famous answers. But the Gemara accepts that teretz. They say the darshan of kal v'chomer. Right? So you see that these are strong svaras that the Gemara accepts as real, and that's the Chasam Sofer wants to argue that if you have such a similar thing, it could be a chiv. He says this is a similar svara to what we've been saying before, that the chefts of the yantiv is obviously midirabanan, but the chiv to do something is the raisa. Meaning if Chanukah would come and go, if Purim would come and go, and you don't do anything, then you're mevatel mitzvah sasem in a Torah. When you actually light Chanukah candles or eat a Purim seudah or whatever, so you're only doing a mitzvah midrabanan, but you're mekayim on the level of daraisa, the chiyuv to have some festivities to celebrate the neis, right? That's the Chasam Sofer's argument, not accepted by all. And it's siv as a dechia of it. Others have different dechias, but it is accepted certainly by much of the crowd that wants to say halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut. It's based mostly on that Yisod of the Chasam Sofer. So, okay. Getting back to this, so basically Rav Shimon, his idea is that when the Rabbanan come up with a 90% Svara, an 85% Svara, a very good Svara, so really you're mechuyev to listen to any good Svara. You're mechuyev to listen to 100% Svara min HaTorah, and you're mechuyev to listen to 85-90% Svara, so on a Rabbanan level. So who should be in charge of being the ones to make these good Svaras? Chorot should be the people who do the best Torah thinking, Torah learning. So that's Chazal. They're the ones who come up with the best, Torah dikas svaras. You don't think that it's a good svar? All right. So you know what? There's a concept called exereshein rovet tzibur yicholim la'amud. So you can't force the tzibur to do something that they can't do. You can't force the tzibur to do something that's too difficult. And it could be shaykh if they look around after 6 months of having made a takana and nobody's keeping it. And that you don't have to keep the takana anymore if it doesn't catch on. So that's kind of like a raya that the Klal Yisrael didn't buy it. And that's inherent in the idea. It could be that that's a real, I don't know, he doesn't say this, but you could say that that's a raya that the svar is not as good as you thought. A really good svar you should be able to sell. Sometimes you get upset if somebody doesn't want to buy your svar, so you say, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he doesn't know how to learn, whatever. Okay, but if everyone in the world doesn't know how to learn and nobody wants to buy your svara, so maybe you need to look in the mirror. So the Chachamim, they had, the trait of Anova, so they were able to look in the mirror and say, if nobody's buying it, maybe we should stop selling it. So they were able to do it. But based on this Yisod, so you realize that the Chiyuv Derabbanan doesn't necessarily have to be based on Lusasur in the classic sense. It's just that there is a concept of the Reach HaTorah, the Ruach HaTorah, that the Chachamim understood inherently where the Torah is trying to take you, what direction it's trying to push you in, and they made Gzeiros and Takanos that fit into this ideal. And therefore, when they have these Asmachtos, that's just an offshoot of the same idea. So the idea that we make brachos based on Losasser, and the idea that we keep Mitzvah Sterabonim based on Losasser, that's true. But it's not true on a Doraisa level. It's only true on a Derabanan level. It's only true on the idea that the Chachamim are able to darshan which direction the Torah is trying to take you. And the Mela, that helps us a lot in understanding understanding A, how Losasa really equals these things, and B, why the Rabbanans are governed by different rules. You know, so the Rambam can't learn like this. The Rambam has a whole different take on it. He says, Asmachtas? The Rabbanan, the Dinam de Rabbanan. Now, obviously, the Rambam understands that the Chachamim are getting the Dinam de Rabbanan based on their vast Torah knowledge and based on their vast understanding of what the Torah wants from a person. It's also based on a Ruach HaTorah. There's no question about that, but the Rambam clearly agrees with it. But that Ruach HaTorah just comes from an overall understanding of what Torah is all about. It doesn't come from a specific pasuk. It doesn't come from a specific limud. It comes from an understanding of what the world Torah view is. And therefore, you can't attribute any din derabbanan to any pasuk. The only way you'll be able to attribute it and plug it into a pasuk is with his definition of asmachta. With his definition, because the whole thing is just a chetz of a mitzvah derabbanan. And Memela, it's actually ironic that since he holds that the actual takanas derabbanan are less connected to the psukim of the Torah, Memela, he holds that they have a higher level chiyuv of lo sasser. You understand how that works? Meaning the overall, the chiyuv has to be a chiyuv min haTorah, because otherwise, you know, these takanas which come out of thin air, they don't have any basis. Mashenkin, the Ramban, so ironically, he says, no, there's no tokif d'oraisa exactly behind the chiyuvim d'rabbanan. It's their own thing, but because they stem from the Torah Shebichtav, because they come from psukim in reality, so then they don't need this big, bad mitzvah d'oraisa backing them up every second. You know, they don't have the big brother Lo Sasser telling them, you know, telling everybody, you better listen. Because that's all part of what the Torah is trying to give over in the first place. It's just a different level. So it comes out that the Rambam, who says that all the Dinam Derabbanan stem from the Mitzvah Deraisa, so he can get away with saying that, but the Dinam Derabbanan themselves are their own thing. And you can even go so far as to say, that the dinam derabbanan don't have any inherent value whatsoever. Right? There's no such thing as like saying that it's the Ratzon Hashem that I light Hanukkah candles. That's not true. It's the Ratzon Chachamim that I light Hanukkah. It's the Ratzon Hashem that I listen to the Chachamim. Right? It doesn't make you feel so warm and fuzzy inside, but that's, it's one step removed from the Ratzon Hashem. That's how the Meshech Chachma formulates it. Mashenkin, according to the Ramban, Avada, it's the Ratzon Hashem. It's the Ratzon Hashem as revealed only to the Chachamim, and they basically pass that along to us. That's a different Yisod. Right? So I once said this part, and a guy, I think he was Lubavitcher Chassid, he got very upset at me. So I said, I'm not saying anything. I'm saying over Meshech Chachma. Like, it's not, you want to take on the Meshech Chachma. I think the Meshech Chachma would agree that the Ramban, you know, would say like you. But that's not what the Rambam says. You know, so it's so B'nai Nafinami, that what got the guy so upset is that, meaning especially from the vantage points of Kabbalah and Hasidus, it has to be an inherent, you know, value in all of these things. Even in lower level minhagim, they'll find a Kabbalistic meaning, they'll find something special, dafka, in all of it. So, Mamela, you can't say like the Meshech Chachma Svara, because otherwise that throws the whole idea out the window. You know what?
Why can't you say that? Hashem gives the Chachamim the right to do it. The Chachamim want to be like Hanukkah candles. But Hashem also really wants that.
Clearly Hashem wants it, but it's different levels of want. I mean, I'll give you an example. This is the Lamdisha version of this machlokis, is the famous Nesivus in Reish Lamed Daled in Choshen Mishpat, where the Nesivus is dealing with a comment of the Mechaber. Let's say you pay a kosher butcher for meat, and you buy the meat and you eat it, and then you find out afterwards that it wasn't kosher. So are you allowed to sue the guy for the money? So the Mechaber paskins that it depends. If it was treif d'oraisa, so you're allowed to sue him for the money and he has to pay you back. If it was treif d'rabbanan, then he doesn't have to pay you back. So why not? So the Nesivus says it's because that when you do an isur d'oraisa, even though you were b'shogeg, So there's no, you did something, excuse me, there was no intent, but you did something inherently wrong, and you need a kapara for that. It says, if you do an Isser Darabanan, b'shogeg, so you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything wrong. I'm saying like you, the Chachamim said, don't do this. Well, you didn't mean to do it, but you still did it. But so what? There was nothing inherently wrong with what you ate. The food was kosher. So lumdus-wise, in the Olamai Yeshivas, they like to say that that's the pshat that the Mesivas is holding, that every Isser Derabanan is really only Nisr Gavra, whereas Isserim Daraisa could even be Nisr Chefza. So ironically, the Rambam doesn't hold that way. Rambam, what?
You know that for a fact?
I like to believe I know it for a fact. I can prove it from a number of different Rambams. But I don't think that's relevant. I'm saying just on a hashkafa perspective, that nesivus is a very Rambam-oriented nesivus. Meaning, like, what did you really do wrong when you ate the food? You didn't do anything wrong. I'm saying the Rabbanan said, don't do this. So you didn't mean to do it. But on a deraisa level, you do something wrong, the act is inherently wrong. I don't think the Ramban school of thought would necessarily be maskim to that. You don't need a kapara when you violate an Isser Darabanan. Avadi, you need a kapara when you violate it. Bishogeg. Bemeiz it, avadi, you need a kapara anyway. But bishogeg, to violate an Isser Darabanan, you've done something inherently wrong. The Rabbanan know what the Ruach HaTorah is, and they're the ones who told you that through the Ruach HaTorah, don't do this. It's wrong. It's not what Hashem wants. The Rambam would argue, we don't know what Hashem wants, Hashem doesn't want. We know what Hashem told us. Hashem told us, do this, don't do that. The Rabbanan told us something else. Hashem said, listen to the Rabbanan. So I tried. I didn't succeed. You know? So that Nesivus is very much along the lines of this Rambam. That you didn't do anything inherently wrong. That's what I was telling you guys the other day. Rav Shlomo Zalman, in his Ha'aris in the Shev Shmaitza, he writes that, he quotes this Nesivus to explain something. And he says that Nesivus is not a halachal amaisa Nesivus. You don't quote that Nesivus when you're paskening shaylas. You know, apparently there was some mashgichim in certain hashkachas, not the OU, Hamish hashkachas, who were relying on this Nesivus and saying like, yeah, if the oilam eats it, so what's the big deal? And Nesivus says, you don't need a kapara anyway, you know, because it's only Nesir Darabonan, so therefore, what's the difference? What they don't know won't hurt them. So along those lines, Rosh Hashanah Zaman published, you don't quote this Nesivus when you're paskening a shayla. You paskening a shayla, what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing, what's mutter l'chol adeis, what's mutter, you know, on a level of derais and derabanan and minhagim and everything, and you let the people decide whether they want to keep it. You don't decide that they don't have to keep it. You know, he was very upset about this attitude in paskening halacha. He didn't buy it. So, okay, but I think this Nesivus is a good illustration of the meshechachmas mahalach. As opposed to, I don't think the Ritva and the Ramban would buy that mahalach at all. So obviously it's sof kol sof. We know that, you know, we have to keep the mitzvahs d'oraisa, we have to keep the mitzvahs d'rabbanan, and we know what the rules are, and we know what the halachas are. But in the end, it's also important for us to understand where everything comes from. And it's funny that there's just, I'll close with this. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim where he writes that. He writes that a way to violate Hilchos Mamrim? I don't remember it anymore. I thought it was. It says a way to violate Bal Tosif is if you claim a mitzvah derabbanan is really a mitzvah deraisa, you violated Bal Tosif. So that's a very difficult thing to understand. But Lamaisa, the Rambam says if you claim a mitzvah derabbanan is deraisa, you violated Bal Tosif. If you claim a mitzvah deraisa is only derabbanan, you violated Bal Tigra. So that's an Isser Daraisa as well. So then he gives some examples. He says, if you say the Isser to eat chicken and milk together is Daraisa, you violate a Bal Tosif. So I think it's the Taz on Yeridea in Pezayin, he quotes that Rambam. He quotes the Shita of the Marshal and one other Dea. There's one Dea in Tosfos. I don't know if the Taz quotes the Tosfos. There's one Tosfos. Not so Shita's a Tosfos, but there's one Tosfos in Fulun that says that chicken and milk is Daraisa. And as well, the Marshal also wants to say the same thing, and as a shtuch to the sheet of the Marshal, the Taz quotes that the Rambam says if you say chicken and milk is deraisa, you're violating Bal Tosif. So that doesn't scare the Marshal, but he just, I think he wanted to illustrate his point very clearly. So the Ravid on that Rambam has an arichus. It's hard to even know what the Hasaga of the Ravid is. If I hadn't heard it first in a shir, I don't think I even would have deciphered what the Hasaga was. But the Ravid, one of the points the Ravid makes in his Hasaga, he's like, you never heard of the phrase kruah smachta ba'alma? So how can you argue? The Chachamim do it all the time. They pretend that mitzvahs derabanan are really d'oraisa. So that's a very hard Ravid to understand. What's the Ravid's Hasaga? He says that the Rabbanan, by making asmachtas, are pretending that the Rabbanans are deraisas? Well, it's no. I assume what the Ravid meant to say is, you know, I would have assumed that, yeah, because the Gemara goes back and forth trying to figure out what's the story with this, and then finally, it's only the Rabbanan and the cross asmachta ba'alma. So what do you see? The Chachamim went ahead and confused everybody into thinking that it was deraisa by making this asmachta. They don't care about Baltosif? They're not scared to violate an issa deraisa? So that you can answer very easily. Say, no, what are you talking about? The Rabbanan were very clear when they made the Takana. It's just that the people over time forgot. They remembered the limud because they remember learning as a kid. They learned parsha with their father, whatever, and their father said, oh, this is alluding to this din, right? And the kid didn't remember whether or not that meant din deraisa or din derabanan, so they debated it in the base medrash. But that doesn't mean the chachamim violated Baal Tosif. So I heard this from Rabbi Yonasan Sachs, where he said that it could be the Ravid understands the idea of asmachta ba'alma like the Maril. He quoted a comment of the Maril that when the Rabbanan made a takana, they were afraid nobody was going to keep their takanas. And they felt it was very necessary, obvious for obvious reasons. And they decided to make an asmachta, and they literally didn't tell people that this was a din derabanan. They pretended it was a din deraisa. So if you learn pshat asmachta like the Maril, so you have a real problem with the Rambam. Or you could just say back, the Rambam is a real problem with the Maril. But either way, So clearly, if you learn Pshat Nasmachta like the Maril, so then the Chachamim would have been violating Baal Tosif. So according to the Rambam, so that could be that's the Pshat in the Ravid's Kasha, that the Ravid was learning Pshat Nasmachta like the Maril. He wasn't learning Pshat like the Rambam, and he wasn't learning Pshat like the Ritva, because I think according to both of those, you don't have a Kasha. But if you're learning Pshat like the Maril, so then the Ravid has a good Kasha. How could it be? So, you know, it's not a kasha that bothers the Rambam, because it's not the Rambam's Pshat Nasmachta. But the Maril takes the Rambam's Pshat Nasmachta and he runs with it one more level. And he says, not only did they stick a mnemonic device into the Pasuk, they even tricked everybody into thinking it was Deraisa. So that, if that's the case, then you can't say like the Rambam, you can't say that's going to be... Okay. We'll leave it over here. There's a tons more to say on this. Actually, when I posted the first shir on Wayu Torah, I saw that a few years ago I had actually given a two-part shir on this topic. I didn't get a chance to hear what I said, but I don't think it was that much the same as this. So could be there's other things, you know, other things that even I thought to say, but certainly there's many things that many people thought to say on this topic that, you know, it's worth further research.